It's a good show.
Hi, everybody. I'm Meg Malloy.
And I'm Julia McCullough. Thank you for tuning in to this week's
Soft Spot.
We're so happy to have you back. We had a very nice week. What happened? Did we travel? I traveled.
We both traveled.
We both traveled, just separately.
Yeah. Yes.
I was in Atlanta.
I was in New York.
And but we still fell asleep looking at the same moon.
Oh, my God. So.
But anyway, when we got back, we were like, I wanted to take you on a date.
Yep.
And we went to a very cool thing. It turned out to be very cool.
It was great.
We saw LeVar Burton. Reading Rainbow.
Reading live at the Regent Theater in downtown LA.
If you haven't been to the Regent, I guess go.
Yeah.
It was okay.
It's cute.
It's fine. It's kind of
harsh. Their beer is way expensive, but it's a cute spot.
And I talked about the parking, but we lifted, so I don't know if the parking
situation
is good or not.
Yeah, you're
going
to figure that out on your own.
But anyway, LeVar, who I forgot was in Star Trek The Next Generation, but half the crowd was there because of that.
Yeah. We were like listening to a story with a bunch of Trekkies, basically.
I mean, these people, first of all, I would say it was sold out, right?
Oh, for sure.
It was absolutely sold out. And it's basically part of his podcast called LeVar Burton Reads. And he reads short stories or, I guess, excerpts or whatever from novels that he likes. And he does it live. And it's cool because he's reading. But they're adult stuff. He's not reading The Little Engine That Could anymore.
No, he's not. And he brings the author on, and there's like a whole Q&A, and it's really cool.
Yeah. The author we saw was...
Nalo Hopkinson.
Thank you for remembering that. Nalo Hopkinson, who was a delight.
She was great.
She was great. The story he read was called Money Tree.
Yeah.
And it was dark and magical and surreal.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was crazy to be sitting there and having LeVar Burton read to me as an adult.
I know, it's pretty great.
It was awesome.
I wonder how much he charges to come to your house at night and read you to sleep.
We can't afford it, I can already tell you.
I mean, one time.
He's making that Star Trek money. He's making a mint off that podcast.
I bet he is, yeah.
He is.
We're going to try and get him on this one.
We are.
Why not?
We are, so
who doesn't
back
wanna
us
hear,
up, people.
Who doesn't want to hear his voice anytime? So we're trying to get him on.
Yeah.
Because he's so many people's soft spot. He did a Q&A at the end, and everybody that got to ask a question was like
basically
crying.
Showered him with compliments, and they were like, "You changed my life. I went to Harvard because of you."
Yeah.
And like,
that's a real one.
Yeah, that was a real one.
Yeah.
There were so many people that were just like,
"I was gonna die. I was gonna die when I was a kid.
You saved me from the brink of death."
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sucked because this author was this awesome,
like
witty lady, and she's just sitting there, and they're all like,
LeVar,
okay, so
LeVar.
This is like a comment for LeVar. You were great too, but like, LeVar, you like changed my whole life. Like, you shaped my mind.
I did feel a little bit weird about that like everybody was
but
there for
she
LeVar.
Was about it too, because she was like, LeVar, how is it that it's been all these years and you look prettier than ever?
Yeah, like, she did say that. And
she's flirting hard
with
him.
She was like, if you want it, it's right here.
Yeah.
And he did not know how to take it. He was like really flustered. And
well, he's been married for a really long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it was really fun. It was a really cool night.
Yeah.
And, so that was cool. You said you grew up loving Reading Rainbow.
I did.
Correct?
I loved Reading Rainbow. And I actually put it on last night for Lulu, my 3-year-old. And I thought it would be like way over her head. Because in this episode, he's like on Wall Street talking about like businesses and stocks. And I thought she was going to be like, turn this off.
But she was like, into business.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the book about? Why was he on Wall Street?
It was kind of amazing. It was a book about a lemonade stand.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And they, in this book, They were like making a graph of their profits, mm-hmm. and he was, and they interviewed a bunch of like successful.
We're up a quarter this quarter.
Yeah. And they interviewed a bunch of like successful business people, and she was into it.
Mm.
And I was like, maybe she's just so tired and zoned, or maybe it's LeVar Burton's magical voice.
I know.
And I think it's his magical voice.
That's great. Yeah, we got to start showing that to both the girls. I think it's pretty great. I just remember.
Because I want my kid to go to like an Ivy League school too.
Yeah.
And I feel like.
It's funny because it is a TV show that makes you excited to read, which is such a. I bet there were parents back then that were like, oh my God, I can't believe we have to watch TV to get these kids to read. But it worked.
It did work.
I wanted to read every book he brought out, you know?
Yeah. Now nobody reads for shit. Everybody listens to books.
I know. Or the kids are like swiping on pages on an iPad or whatever.
Yeah.
Have you ever? It is fun being read to. And LeVar does the voices of the characters.
He does. Just like my God. He did that Caribbean accent. And I was like, yes, LeVar.
I know. I was like, is this going to be embarrassing? But he nailed it.
He did.
Yeah. And then I tried to do it and it was just Russian.
It was so bad. Every accent he does is Russian. He's like, I was talking to this Italian guy by the pool. And all of a sudden the Italian guy's Russian.
Yeah. Enrico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Enrico, if you're listening, you're probably not. That's fine.
I'm like, hello, I'm from Caribbean. I love metal drums.
Oh, my God.
And we went to another flea market yesterday.
Yeah.
The Pasadena.
The PCC.
The PCC. It's Pasadena City
College.
Which the campus is nicer than most Eastern Ivy League schools I've been to.
It's
Pasadena.
Pretty,
how is Pasadena a real place?
It's pretty fancy. It's kind of like a grown-up wonderland.
It's perfect. It's so strange. The whole thing feels like a movie set.
And you know what? If you saw us there, you'd know because our two children were being absolute shits.
Yeah. Well, apparently you can't take two children to a thing where everything's for sale and weird looking and have them be like, no problem, I'll just keep my hands in my pockets.
I just won't ask you to buy me anything.
And the only break we had was because these two young, cool ladies were running. It was a clothing
They
one,
had
right?
like a vintage booth and they had a boombox.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, little girl, what's your favorite song? And Lulu was like, let's have a kiki.
By the Scissor Sisters.
And so they danced to that. While all the old people were like, what?
Yeah.
And then they danced to Back in Black by AC/DC.
And that was great. They mostly just jumped around. I love that Let's Have a Kiki, which is my favorite song of all time now.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Has the word motherfucker in it 85 times. And like, we're like, this is our 3-year-old's favorite song.
Ooh.
So we had a nice time and...
it's no twinkle twinkle,
shirts.
But... Yeah,
I got some shirts.
You got some shirts.
Because we're up and up my... We're up in my game because apparently stained T-shirts and old shorts are not.
It's not doing it for me.
I'm entering my twilight years. I have to look like I know how to dress myself.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Anyway, we had a nice week, but we are very, very excited about our first guest, and only guest. We've never booked more than one guest.
We're so excited. We've been talking about this person's soft spot for the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
And we're pretty excited to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty on brand for us.
So let's bring him in. Kyle, thanks for coming, man.
You betcha.
You have now met Meg.
Yes.
Yep.
The beautiful Meg.
Good to meet you.
Meg didn't officially meet you, but she saw you when we went to the Virgil for, what was that? It was...
Our friend Brian Cook does a show called Guilty Treasures.
And it was his birthday.
Yeah. It was his birthday show also, and he has a cover band. Which, don't you just hate it when comedians are good at something else?
It's not
like,
fair.
Like, you're a comedian because you're bad at everything.
Yeah.
Don't just all of a sudden play an instrument and be good at that, too.
If you have a back door, what are you doing here?
Oh, this Donald Glover shit where he gets to do whatever he wants and he's great at it.
I remember I was so mad that his half-hour special came in like a year for him. And then it wasn't that great. And I was like, ha-ha! And then he's like been perfect for ever since.
Do you ever see somebody that's so good at everything and kind of a nice guy? You're like, I wish something terrible. so we can level the playing field. When is somebody going to take this John Mulaney down a peg?
Oh, yeah, trust me.
I don't wish that on everybody. It's like, you motherfucker.
I mean, look, would it be so bad if he got hit by a bus tomorrow?
He'd probably... Well, no, because then people would just be sympathetic for him to get more opportunities.
I know. He'd probably apologize to the bus.
The first paraplegic gold platinum-selling hip-hop artist.
So Brian Cook.
Cook is a show where they do stand-up and then people sing their song. And
I did the show once.
Yeah,
I did You Belong to the City by Glenn Frey.
Oh, okay.
That was mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
You belong to the city.
Yeah. I did. Look at me. I belong to the city.
Guys, it turns out I belong to the city.
Meg, what song would you sing with a live band if you had to sing a song?
Oh my God. Well, I'm so thinking about your soft spot that things that are coming to mind, should I say it?
Yeah, go for it.
The only things that are coming to mind are power ballads.
You would sing a power ballad.
Which I absolutely am not qualified to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I'd probably go with a power ballad.
Okay. Well, we'll come back for the specific one after we get into it.
I want to go back to any kind of government property that automatically sings You Belong to the City.
Any government? What do you mean?
Like a trash can? Or like a mailbox? But it's like when somebody won't mow their lawn between the sidewalk and the street, like, so you belong to this. I don't know the word.
I think if anytime a mayor gives a speech, the whole crowd should just be like, you belong to the city.
The people have spoken.
Okay, so we were there that night for Brian Cook's birthday, and he was doing, they were playing a bunch of songs. You are a noted Bob Seger fan.
I when I say I'm a fan, I still know nothing. Like, there's nothing I know about in this world other than 1980s BMX stars.
Uh-huh.
And regional Chicago
punk
rock.
Your Matt Hoffmans?
Oh, your Matt Hoffmans, your Brian Blethers, your Ron Wilkerson. I could talk about Team Haro all day long.
But that's not what we're here to do.
No, but so even when I'm like, oh yeah, fan of Bob Seger, I don't know, like, oh, what date did this come out? I just know.
No, you're an emotional dude. You love the way it makes you feel, but you don't give a shit where he's from.
No, I've met every place had its regional Springsteen. Mm-hmm. And so in the Midwest, we had Seger or Mellencamp to choose from.
Meg's from Texas. What's the Texas Seger? Is he from Texas?
No, Seeger's Michigan.
Oh, right. Obviously.
Texas just has all the musicians everywhere.
I know. So. I feel specifically where
Seger
I'm
is
from.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you could say a Seeger because it's just so different down there. But ZZ Top is like where I'm from, man.
I would say that's close, yeah.
Exactly where I'm from.
Those heartfelt tunes like She Wants a Pearl Necklace.
Yeah. And Tush.
You know, from the soul. You know, from the soul.
Yeah. Legs, Tush,
she
Pearl
likes
Necklace.
Whips and chains, got me under pressure.
And their power ballad is Rough Boy. It's not even sweet when they're supposed to be sweet.
Ain't nobody slow dancing a ZZ Top, all right?
So
I sang, they were doing Night Moves, and like, you gotta sing Night Moves. I'm like, I guess I do. And I got up there, couldn't remember the words.
Scale of 1 to Canaan, how drunk were you?
You know what? I really think that I should never be drinking. Because I'm not, like, I'm...
Kyle, you've been drinking for 20 years.
Yeah,
you don't get to say that now.
I mean...
It's 11:17 a.m. and we're all having a Modelo, so...
Modelo's a tasty breakfast beer.
Yeah, that's, like, classy. That's gold.
Yeah, it's cowboy chocolate milk. That's not a phrase. This is why I don't do improv. No, I was... I don't know what about that night that I was just letting it get me. You know, some nights you're going to have drinks and you're going to be a professional. You have a few drinks, maybe get a little loose, maybe laugh a little louder than you should. And that was a night where I was like, you know what? We're just going to lean hard. Yeah, we're going to lean hard.
I'm going to crash test dummy into a wall tonight.
Julian was doing the same thing except in the next room and not on a stage.
Okay. Well, that's better that you weren't.
Was that the night I got into a fight with?
Got into a fight.
Over another Morrissey fight.
Morrissey fight? Oh, you know these Morrissey fights.
It's really such a regular thing. Mm-hmm.
Me versus a dozen Latino teenagers from Boyle Heights.
When you're a Smith all the way.
Bronger has that great joke about being on a date with a girl years ago at like some bar. Like, it was all the kind of cholos playing Morrissey. And she was just trying to be, you know, antagonist. She's like, you know, he's gay, right? And one of them's like, no, he's bisexual. like real real defensive about his ambiguous sexuality.
Oh, that's great.
No, he's bisexual, huh?
Oh, that's great. I always tell the story when I went to see Morrissey at the Staples Center, there were two Mexican dudes next to me that were in their 50s easily, and they were still in their construction gear. Like, they had come from work to straight to the show, because they had, like, concrete on their Timberlands and stuff like that. And he sings How Soon Is Now, and he sings the line, I am human and I need to be loved. They put their arms around each other and were cry singing.
Oh, yeah.
Mexican dude, construction dudes in their 50s. There's, I mean, come on.
First of the gang to die. That was his ode to his Latino following.
And now he just keeps being politically fantastic.
Oh, man, it's so hard.
Old and rich.
Yeah. It's the worst.
Back against old and rich.
You can't. No one can.
You can't.
I don't know how you're doing it so well, but.
Oh, yeah, I'm old and rich. That's me.
Okay, so Night Moves happens.
Night Moves, and I was yelling at. I'll publicly apologize to James Urbaniak.
You sang Night Moves on stage, or you were in the crowd at this point?
They were just like, we're playing Night
Moves.
We were
watching. Meg and I are watching this.
You saw how drunk I was, so this is my recollection of the evening. Mm-hmm. Night Moves is playing. Well, you got to sing it, Kyle. I'm like, I sure do.
Yeah.
And I got on stage, and everybody was kind of dicking around halfway through it. And I was too drunk to remember any. Like, you always think you know a song until it's up to you to sing it without someone else singing it with you.
Without the backing vocals.
You know what it's like?
Once you're just given the music. Totally lost.
Shit's hard. Shit's hard.
Have you ever ridden shotgun 50 times to a place, but if you had never drove there, and then you have to drive there, you have no idea how
to get there? That's my life in L.A. That's me since I got a driver's license. I've only been here for a few months.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're just getting,
So now I'm just learning how to get to the grocery store and CVS. But yes, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's
if you don't have your dryers, you're just like, oh, there's that big donut they talk about.
Yeah, you're not like watching streets or anything.
Which,
you're
by the way, if you are seeing that big donut, stay in the car. That's not a good
area. That's not a good area.
So you get
up there.
James Urbaniak, who was up there, and he was kind of like, this was all my. I place no blame on anybody else. I was just.
Kyle, everybody
loud.
Knows you're a good dude.
I was just being a loud chump.
You have your convictions.
Yeah, and he was like, dicking around. He insulted Seeger or something. I was like, you get the fuck
you
out
elitist.
Of here. You fucking nerd. I just saw spectacles. I'm like, when you realize you're way more on the side of Ogre than the Tri-Lambs Revenge of the Nerds, you're like, oh no, Ogre was, I liked Ogre more. Nerds! He was just operating on emotion.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting with Meg in the booth, and I go, that's Kanane, he's awesome.
He's like, I love him. He's like, no, I want to go fight somebody. I want to go fight somebody about Morrissey. Somebody talk shit about Morrissey. I hope you will.
Say something.
The guy who I got into a fight with did our theme song for this podcast. And after that, we didn't talk
Chris.
For like 3 weeks. Anyway.
Also, comedy fights consist of just yelling and then no fists ever being thrown.
No, ever. No. So, I mean, if you ever got into a fist fight with another comedian, you'd be famous for 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
Both of you would be famous, you know.
Yeah, both of you walking around with your broken wrists.
I know.
But, yeah, so I didn't even know James, and I was like, it was one of those things where I was saying it in a way that I thought, like, ah, we're all familiar, we're all on a couch, but it was one of those. You know, you have the next day where you're like, oh, boy, I had fun last night. I was a little loud. But then you have the next days where you're like, I gotta convey an apology
somehow.
To a stranger.
And I want to DM him, but he doesn't follow me, so now I don't know what to do.
I was going through Cookie to apologize. I'm like, man, just tell him I'm sorry. I feel like But Cookie's not a guy to ask, like, oh, did I get out of hand? Because he's just a chaos artist. He'd be like, no, man, you should get twice as drunk next time. Okay, you're just trying to puppet master my own weaknesses.
I would never trust him to deliver an apology on my behalf.
Never, ever. Yeah, so I guess if James Urbaniak is listening to this, I don't know if that's how you pronounce your name and all.
That's correct. Yeah, you got it right.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
But trust me, if you didn't, he'd be calling in because he is a
big fan.
He's very picky about his name. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea. So anyway.
Sorry for the first impression about that.
No, I loved it. I was like, I want to be friends with him.
Yeah, she was like, well, he should be on a podcast.
We get there.
It is a testament, though, to your passion for music and for these songs. And that is, so when I asked you, what is your soft spot, you said?
I said power ballads.
Power ballads!
Well, I was trying to think of, like, something, and then I was in Palm Springs all weekend, so I was having the most douchebag weekend of, like, think about what I'm sensitive about. I'm sensitive about nothing. SPF 50, that's what I'm sensitive about. Having a good time. But I'll get it. As far as it's about, like, what do you go back to if things are a little rough or
yeah,
something?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I will. Do you find this in your life where you just will have a conscious moment where you're like, I'm going to allow myself to be overcome with emotion right now?
Oh, for sure.
Where, like, I can feel it
a
little bit.
I'm a lady. I do that at the very least once a month. So
I meant when you can control it.
Yeah.
You
know? No, like when it's a choice, though.
Well, but maybe it's like, you know, especially it's like, oh, that masculinity thing where you feel a little something bubbling. You're like, no.
Shove it down.
And
I'm going to jerk off.
Yeah. No way. I'm going to punch my bed for a while. But it would be, it's a lot with like driving on the road doing comedy. I'll get overwhelmed. Music will drive me to being overwhelmed. That and movies on airplanes. Mm-hmm. As soon as you're like in a tight little space where like, if you cry here, you look real crazy.
Yeah.
All I want to do is cry. I don't even care to watch it like the Bourne Identity. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I killed his girlfriend in the beginning.
He knows where all the threats are in the room.
Yeah. He doesn't even know what his real name is. He's just like a lost puppy. So I will allow my, like, I'm like, it's good. It's healthy for you to do that. And so most recent was last Sunday when I saw a band called The Smoking Popes, which is an old punk band from Chicago at the Viper. Again, I was kind of, I can't say rare form twice in the same conversation because it's not rare then. Not combative drunk, but definitely I had to apologize to people next to me for kind of bumping into them. And then they
at a punk show?
But they were like, it's not punk
a
as much as they.
Punk show?
Everybody's old.
Yeah.
And they came from that. They're very melodic. I encourage everybody to check them out. They're a fantastic band.
Mm-hmm.
Musically, like they have they're three brothers and then the drummer, and the two guitar players shred like AC/DC solos back and forth, but then he croons on top of it. They opened for Morrissey for a long time.
Yeah. That's a band I've always heard of like a million times and knew that I should like and never bothered to get into it, but I think I'll try.
I didn't know that they put it on the to-do list.
Mm-hmm. They have a very beautiful songwriting and very emotional behind it. So I was like, you know what? I'm having it. And I'm 41, and Cookie was there with me. He left early, and then that's why I could. I'm like, hey, you know, let the tear. Like, it wasn't weeping, but there was a little wet eyes.
Yeah,
okay.
And so, between that and then being on the road as a comic, and I'll just rent a car and go city to city. Like, I won't just fly to a club and fly back. I'll tour like, you know, I'll be out for 10 days, bouncing different, and just something about being open road.
I know
where it's like, all right, well, nobody can see you.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can just sing to the countryside.
You can sing to the wheat.
Oh, I will let some songs get a hold of me.
I know. It's the best. And driving, I mean, that's the way to listen to them.
Oh, especially
unless you're there in the concert. Like, that's your favorite place to listen to music? Is the car or no?
Yeah, probably the car.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but I came here from New York, and so I was very much like a headphones person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Talked about this a little bit in our Sklar Brothers episode.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Walking in New York can feel a lot like driving, though, in a way, where it's like, you know, as long as you're moving, that's the thing. You're going somewhere and you're not there
yet. Yeah, you tie certain songs to like places you pass.
I would have that, like this is my little area here. This area puts me in this mood.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
This is the kind of mood I'm in here.
So we had a hard, I wouldn't say we had a hard time, but it's not easy picking your top three power ballads.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if, was it hard for you or were you like, I know immediately what my top three are?
Well, I knew what the top number one was and I kind of just worked back, because then it's like, well, that's also my wheelhouse for as much as like, oh boy, I grew up punk rock and roll.
Wait.
Butt rock is my wheelhouse.
Okay.
80s butt
right.
rock.
Eighties butt rock. Before we, I meant to do this, sorry. Before we list what our top three power ballads are each, Meg found a great definition and the criteria for what makes it a power ballad.
Okay. One of mine, I think, doesn't quite
so this
suit.
Is
well, we'll fight you if it's
loudersound.com. I've never heard of this website, so
yeah,
I don't know how legit it is, but this feels pretty
whoever wrote it
pretty accurate to me. So they have like basically there's five criteria, like what does it take for something to be a power ballad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The first one is the surge, also known as the crunch. Does the song ebb and flow gently and then suddenly, when you least expect it, erupt with the gush of a tsunami?
I know what they're talking about.
Well, Now, when she read me that one, I was like, it's always super predictable. What are you talking about when you least expect it? A good power ballad is like, here it comes.
A power ballad is anywhere between 3 and like 9 minutes, so I don't know how much unpredictability you can pack into that.
Yeah, there's a formula that they follow.
So, but we the next one
is The Soar. Does the song fly like an eagle, or does it pounce about like a penguin? Sincerity. Is the song gut-wrenching, tear-drenched, hyper-emotional, agonizing? In short, does it come from the ideally shattered heart? Fluffiness, an essential counterbalance to the surge and the soar. And finally, the cheese. This relates to the over-the-top lyrics sung in a pleading, often tormented manner. It could apply to couplets such as, I'm gonna keep on loving you, it's the only thing I want to do.
Oh man, now that one might have just made my top three.
Or to exaggerated statements about plummeting to the ground on broken wings, doing it for the glory of love, holding on and never saying goodbye.
Okay.
Surge, soar, and cheese.
When she
said
sore,
like an infection.
I thought she meant a sore.
Yeah, it sounds like something that antibiotics
would be involved.
You're
like picturing the people in these bands, and you're not thinking about the music.
Well, that doesn't seem like a very scientific definition of power ballad, but it's
kind of accurate.
It's funny that I didn't even put Keep on Loving You in there, and I had such a moment with that song also.
Listen, there's no rules
today.
I
have a top three, but I have so many alternates.
That's
like,
where I'm at.
I know.
You can't really.
Okay, so what's your number one, Kyle?
Oh, we're starting at number one.
Well, let's start at number three. Let's do number three. Unless
REO
Speedwagon
Well, that special, that song, I Love Me Some Speedwagon.
Mm-hmm.
And that song was stuck in my head not long after I moved to Los Angeles, which was 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, I had, like, forbade myself from really listening to, like, no, man, you're punk rock. Like, for trying to be punk rock in my youth, I really gave myself a lot of rules, which means I couldn't enjoy all these other things. And so, for some reason, that song came in, and I had just gotten my car towed, and I couldn't stop singing I Keep on Loving You.
Yeah.
So much so that when I got to get my car from the impound lot, I was still humming it. Well, counting $600 in cash out onto the trunk of my car. It's the only thing I want to do. Like, that's how powerful it was stuck in my brain.
Here's
so I think that's a honorable mention.
It's definitely an honorable mention. And the other one is Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore.
Uh-huh.
Which, or I think it's just Can't Fight This Feeling.
Yeah.
And that one always...
I prefer I'm Gonna Keep on Loving You. We just talked about this in the car.
But here's my problem with that. Keep on Loving You, there's no twist to that song. It's like, I love you, and I'm gonna keep doing it. And there's no, like, drama there. Well, can't fight this feeling anymore.
He's not giving you any doubt.
Exactly. It feels like an anthem.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
okay.
Anthem. That's where I get confused. Power ballads and anthems.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, he's not backing down.
I appreciate
the strength of it.
I love both songs. I love I Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore because he's saying, there's a metaphor in it. He has, I'm gonna take this shipment to the shore and throw away the oars forever. It's like,
that's right.
But here's what I love.
He came in with that. That's like first draft. People are like, fuck it. We only got the studio. You're throwing away the oars? You're going to say oars.
Sing it. Let's hear him sing it first. Okay. All right. It worked. But I love these ideas of these songs with these grown men that are like, I've been in love with you, Karen, for 12 years, and I've never told you, and I just can't. I can't stop anymore. I have to tell you.
Yeah.
How realistic are these scenarios?
I don't know. I mean, it had to happen to somebody.
Did it ever happen to you? Did you ever have a guy be like, I can't fight this feeling anymore? I have to throw away my oars forever?
I don't think he'd those words.
Yeah, he'd say that in a courtroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Couldn't fight the feeling anymore. I needed to be locked up.
Exactly. I'm going to take a pass.
Okay, take a pass.
Yeah.
All right, so that's your honorable mention.
Well, and I would say one of the qualifications is for a power ballad, does the music video involve someone on the tour bus in a black and white shot listfully you know which word I'm going for, looking out the window with mirrored sunglasses on, like, man, I don't even know where I live anymore.
I know.
That was an important one.
Yeah.
Do they look sad on the tour bus with mirrored Ray-Bans?
Hate to spoil that moment for everybody at home, but those guys are always sleeping.
Yeah,
they're just asleep.
They're not awake on the bus. Yeah. Okay, so I'll say number three for me was Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue.
Excellent one.
Oh, okay.
Excellent one. Oh.
Piano? Who is surprising people with a piano? Out of the crew?
Here's my issue, and here's where my snobbery comes in.
I'm
looking at Motley Crue. I'm going, which one of these fuckers wrote this piano part? None of them.
Wasn't Nikki Sixx the...
Was she the talent?
The songwriter and, arranger of the whole thing.
Okay, all right.
Mick Mars is just a petrified...
He's scary looking,
man. He was... I think he was 73 years old...
when they started.
When this song came out. I think they just wheel him out on a dolly.
He definitely made a wish on a monkey paw and joined Motley Crue.
Yeah.
But I love this song.
he learned on a harpsichord.
And obviously, I'm surprised this isn't one of your number ones. Isn't your number one, because it's about being on the road, right?
Oh, well, I mean, they're all really about love or being on the road.
Yeah.
Because you're on the road. Oh, man. Tommy Lee.
Mm-hmm. That guy.
You gotta be dumb to play drums this well.
I know. That guy could really hit stuff.
Nobody, you know what? Of all the bands where you're like, oh, did you know so-and-so, like the lead singer Bad Religion went to school for zoology. Like, it's never a drummer. It's never a drummer. The drummer's never the surprised fact. He's actually a neurosurgeon in his spare time. It's like, this guy needs three hookers to put his pants on just to get on the bus.
It's like,
they're not even call girls. They're just nurses that dress slutty. It's the opposite of like slutty women who dress like nurses. They're actual nurses, but they dress slutty so they think he's still rocking. It's like, but they're caregivers.
I know. It's always Huey Lewis that went to Harvard, and then they're like, well, what about the drummer? And they're like, he was
plucked from a gutter somewhere.
Yeah.
We have to wipe food off his shirt before we get on stage every night.
He has to wear eye patches so he doesn't poke himself in the eye when he's drumming.
Sometimes he forgets to take off the bib when we take the stage.
But that Huey, huh? He's a brainiac.
He forgets to chew his food.
Well, that's I love.
Huey Lewis went deaf.
I love that Motley Crue song. That's probably my favorite Motley Crue song.
My Heart is a real...
That was pretty good.
That came back.
I could never really get into Vince Neil. Do you think Vince Neil's hot?
No.
Yeah, I just never thought he was a badass. I thought he was kind of whatever.
Is that really like what you're thinking though? Like you couldn't get into it because you didn't feel like Vince Neil was hot enough?
It just never rocked me up. Well, that's pretty common knowledge that the song Dude Looks Like a Lady is written about Vince Neil.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was about him coming into bars and them being like, look at this fucking chick.
And we're just not going to point out what Steven Tyler looks like.
Yeah, of all of them, they deem Vince Neil to be
the most ladylike.
Yeah. Too pretty.
Yeah. But, no, I just didn't, but whatever. But, you know, I like Motley Crue. Did you know I listen to Dr. Feelgood and then Killing Joke has a song... that is literally that riff, and I was like,
oh really?
Yeah, it really bothered me because I was like, it sounds different when they play.
Does it sound just like how I did it?
Yeah, like a banjo. Anyway, okay, so that's a great one.
I don't know if you ever listened.
Do you like Home Sweet Home?
Yeah, I do. I know Land likes it.
No, Land, our buttery voiced producer, is one of his top three.
Land loves that song.
When I came in, he's like, yeah, that one.
Okay, number two.
They do get dirty in Home Sweet Home 2, which I like.
Oh, right. Wait, what? What do you mean? There's a sequel?
There's a sequel to that song?
I want to do... I just want to do karaoke, only do the guitar solos.
Can you do the guitar solos of everyone?
Yeah, this is what I do in my car and cry.
If anybody at home...
I will cry real tears and still do the guitar solo parts.
Well, that's because you're a real man. If anybody at home is curious, Kyle is wearing a chicken in a barrel barbecue t-shirt.
You betcha.
So that is the guy doing those guitar solos.
And I got a homemade pentagram tattoo.
Nice.
That I've done recently. So
You just got into Satan.
Who's living life? Time to scare my elderly parents, finally.
It's never too late to get into Satan.
It's right underneath my Bob Seger tattoo.
There it is.
It's Jesus, and it says Ramblin' Gamblin' Man.
And it's right on that beautiful, delicious-looking calf.
Yeah,
let me tell you, Kyle.
A lot of stupid tattoos.
Yeah, what, do you do a lot of hiking?
If anybody wants to... If anybody wants a warning lecture about tattoos, just come see me, and I'll show you my body.
Let's do our threes,
all right,
and then we'll do our twos, and then we'll do our ones. So should I go, or do you want to go?
Okay, number three for me is Amanda by Boston.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
I keep singing Rosanna instead. Like
that's
all the
Toto.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's hard for me to not...
Away. There's something...
It's really good. Also, it's a lady's name.
Yeah.
Like, that's so
sweet.
It's so sweet.
And her name's Amanda, which is like,
yeah,
not a, you know.
Hey, part of the reason I chose this is because my best friend from college, Amanda, but we always called her Shrives, or Lady Shrives a lot. We would get blasted on Shiner on our porch and sing Power Balance. So,
of course, she was your best friend.
This is kind of for her.
Yeah. This does have that moment in the song that you made fun of me for criticizing.
What?
Because he says, "I'm going to take you by the hand and say it like a man." And then he goes, "I love you."
Oh, yeah. I thought about it.
I haven't heard this one in a while. This one doesn't get the radio play it deserves.
Also, exactly.
That line could also be misconstrued, which is, I'm going to take you by surprise and make you realize. Like what, out of the bushes?
Yeah, all lyrics.
I feel like this absolutely could be like a... this could be like a love from afar kind of stalker anthem. I don't really know the... There, it's beautiful. I don't really know what made him write this, but it has really happy memories. Well,
it is a beautiful song.
Wasn't
it's a great
Boston
song.
like not the Blink 182, but the kind of Backstreet Boys or day, like they were an assembled rock band, like they were assembled power
that is,
rock band.
That is not what I heard. I heard that they were geniuses.
You
they
went watch to your tongue.
They went to my pointer finger is out, by the way.
I just said maybe all the guys in Boston weren't pals before they were in Boston. They kicked the shit out of me.
I know. I realize that my index finger's out, like I'm about to preach, but I also am not sure if I'm right about this. They went to MIT. They were like music nerds.
Oh.
And they were very like technically
or maybe
advanced.
That's what it was, like they could mathematically create a hit.
Yeah. They deconstructed.
Just another man out of Boston. That's what they say. The way they talk about getting famous in the sign a record company contract. You know we make great entertainers. Like who are you selling?
Waited in the waiting room for 15 minutes.
Yeah. You're just telling me how you got famous in a song that's famous. Yeah. All right, you dicks.
Well, that's a great one. Amanda's awesome.
Yeah.
Good job. Good addition.
I could hear that science coming through. They got me. Science of a ballad.
So my number three, I already forgot. Hold on. Mine was oh no, I had to change it because we don't want to agree. We have one that's an overlap.
Because he tried to take one of mine, and I said, no, find your own.
Do you get to keep it? You got to keep it?
I got to keep it.
Mm-hmm. So, look, it's a little bit cliche or whatever, but I think it's much like Home Sweet Home, mine is Faithfully by Journey. That's number three.
Can't fight you on that. Yeah.
Because I couldn't pick which Journey one, but it's got Steve Perry's got to be in there. That voice has to be in there. And Open Arms is too overplayed, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
The build-up on this one is solid.
What is it about the road ballads that have to start with piano only?
Because you know what? It's when the stage is cleared.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to plug in. They're not plugging into the whole amp to work on a tune. But they keyboard's out there to just noodle on.
Oh, man. You know, he wrote this before a show just because it just came out all at once.
Every song came out all at once. Sure,
I made that up completely.
Yeah.
No, what I love about Steve Perry is, I don't love it, but he, I think, has the best arena rock voice of all time. And lost his voice to vocal cord cancer or whatever it was.
And he fell down a hill.
Whatever.
Right?
Well, I don't know, but that doesn't fit my narrative that I'm going for. But
broke his hips.
He soared too close to the sun with his vocals, and God smote him, like Icarus, and that's why he took his voice away.
Does that?
Jesus Christ!
Does that inform their album art? Because it's all like Egyptian, like the scarab beetles. Like,
what is that art?
It's true. I don't
know
why they do that.
It really doesn't match anything about their song, their sound.
Yeah,
is that
no.
It's all like weird Egyptian 1984 Atari cover art.
Yeah.
I don't understand who was art directing that either.
It was terrible.
I like them taking a different angle. Everybody's going big hair.
It's
and,
true.
Like,
that's true.
Ugly dudes trying to be sexy.
Why not Egyptian mythology for no reason?
Yeah. We look like, our art's like Maiden, but it's nothing to do with Maiden.
Yeah. I love the line, they say that the road is no place to start a family, and it's like, well, someone never read Steinbeck because, oh wait, no, that didn't end well. Yeah, of course.
Trying to mix Steinbeck with Journey lyrics.
See, that song to me sounds even more like it's sung in the back of the bus. you know, than Home Sweet Home. Home Sweet Home is like, not that we can, there's winners and losers, but, you know, that one is like an anthem, you know, arena. And it Faithfully sounds like he sang it in the back of the bus to me, you know.
This one's I love for us one. Boys.
Now, Faithfully is played a little too much, I feel like, even today, but I still had to, you know, it's like one of those things, you can't fault something for being successful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. It's like, I love Journey, but also Journey reminds me of like, you know, Chad and Brad and Steven at the bar with their boat shoes, and they're like, remember that time we sang that at karaoke?
Oh, yeah, I said it might be O'Sherry. Yeah. And she goes, I go, it might be O'Sherry. And she goes, oh, really? Why don't you go sing it with Chad outside right now or go down to the...
It just feels like that would be their deep cut choice, which is not really even a deep cut, but, you know...
Well, it's how many people are truly feeling emotions to this stuff versus, boy, it's this true. Is a song that's old and
or it's
corny.
Like, yeah, or it's like hooligans chanting us, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they just like the chant.
I did. I had a weird Welsh soccer fan. For some reason, I was like getting like in Santa Monica at 2 in the afternoon. There was like these Welsh soccer guys. Mm-hmm. They'd been there because the bar would open at like 5 a.m. so they could watch it. And it was that You Could Have It All If You Want song by the Stereophonics.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or something. Mm-hmm. But this giant Shrek-looking dude just made everybody in the bar sing it sincerely. It was like, you know what? Now I love this song.
Yeah.
Because it was said from this big ogre who was like, this song makes me happy, and it's going to make everybody in here happy.
I'm sorry to all the Chads out there. I'm sorry about you and your boat shoes.
Well, I don't know what Scandinavian Chad is. This was just a guy who'd been watching soccer and drinking for 8 hours.
Yeah.
And every stranger, he would just grab and sing in your face until you sang along with him out of fear.
And he loved it.
Yeah.
And
you could have it all. I'm not going to sing anymore. I don't even know the
all right, number two.
Number two is, it doesn't quite qualify for a ballad, but man, it's a jam. Wait by White Lion.
I played that for 5 seconds in the car this morning, and she goes, nope.
Are you kidding me?
I'm so sorry.
Well, now you have to, now you have to listen to it. I love this song.
This is like a weird remix.
Is it?
Oh yeah, this is not the original.
Yeah, what is this? Is this a Spotify snafu? All right.
This is shitting over my number two, guys.
White Lion.
This is what
I always wonder. Like, when did White Snake come out and White Lion come out? Because like, did they both? Did one or the other was just like, well, we don't care. We're just going to do it also with the name.
Oh,
because as a kid, I always confused them both. What is the crux of Wait? Why is it called Wait? What are they waiting for?
It's like, it's just the typical, I think, she's leaving.
And he's like, wait!
He's like, wait!
Hey, that's a song! Hey, that's a song!
He was going to show her loving that she can't deny.
Again, oh, okay.
Very rapey.
Yes.
All the lyrics
I know.
Are
yeah, I know.
On paper, just raping lyrics.
Well, the word power is in the title. So,
yeah,
let's,
yeah.
You know, it's a
I'm
power
I'm going to show
battle.
You loving you can't deny.
Yeah, I'm take you by
exactly. Man.
I love this idea of this moment of she's finally walking out and they're both crying. And then he's like, wait,
hold
and
on.
And she's like, what? And he's like, never mind. I'm going to write that song. It's a good song. You can leave. Well, I guess we didn't get to hear your number two, Kyle, and that's okay. We'll move on.
That's
I'm so right. Sorry.
Seek out the original version.
We will. We will
it's
listen
fantastic.
To it in the car on the way home.
I'm gonna double up because my number two and my number one are the same song.
Wow. Okay. All right.
So this song I feel is kind of one of the original power ballads.
Mm-hmm.
Without You, Harry Nilsson.
More piano.
Yep. Haunting.
Do you not know this song?
I know it. I just, like, from the name, I needed
oh,
to
right,
hear it
yeah,
first.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this one is brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like, this is laying on the floor of your bathroom.
It's literally in the suicide scene of what is it? The Rules of Attraction.
Rules of Attraction. I don't like hearing. Like, I don't like hearing shit like
I
that.
I guess like you just ruined the Rules of Attraction.
She's literally slitting her wrists in the bathtub.
Oh,
in this
God.
Song
I'm
is
gonna
playing.
Do it right now. This song is
well, technically.
Sad.
Well, I'm about to bring you right back up.
Wait, shouldn't she be singing to a song called "Without Me" if she's committing suicide?
So many fit the genre.
I know. That's true.
So, now I will follow that with...
Right. What? No, no, don't do it yet.
I already said it.
Okay, but I have more to say about Harry Nilsson first.
Okay, go for it.
This is 1971, which I think is any like actual power ballad, right? Don't you think that's early for a power ballad?
It is.
I mean, in
it's
my
like
head,
it's like the beginning.
It's like a prototype. That's why there's
soaring guitar solos is what I would qualify.
And I'm not sure if there is a guitar.
I think you're really going to have a problem with my next one.
this song
the
climaxes.
The 1812 Overture. Soaring?
This song Surges. Climaxes with strings. There's no guitar solo. So, but you can feel that power ballad, you know, build up.
Yeah.
Okay. So
the second time the chorus comes around and his voice kind of like cracks, it's like, wah.
Yeah. So what is it?
Mariah Carey's version.
That's her number one.
Don't get mad.
Don't get mad.
Which one do you are you
Bad
more familiar
shit,
with,
Mariah
Kyle?
This Carey.
One?
I didn't even know Mariah Carey
sang the song. Oh, really? 45 million other people that listen to Spotify did.
That's, yeah. I told you. I'm not an expert on anything other than BMX and.
If you could just, let's take it to the.
This Mariah one. Carey's so crazy. Look she didn't out. Even know somebody was recording her when she sang this.
No,
oh,
it takes
the hardest
a while.
Part. I know.
This is just
her voice, her range. I know. I'm
this
sorry.
This is her just twirling in a room covered in teddy bear pelts. Out of her goddamn mind. That's
yeah,
what this
I
was.
See her slowly stabbing teddy bears to get the filling out. You know, but like perfect lip gloss,
just like a trapper.
She, I love how
Don't
crazy
you
she is. I love how crazy she is.
Speak ill of the elusive Chanteuse.
No, she's
okay.
She is someone I think that is so talented that she gets mad.
No, she's
hitting like deep, like tenor notes right here.
Yeah. She's been like,
and then she can
Leland.
Sing like a dolphin too.
Yeah.
She can do it all.
Yeah,
she's
she
been protected from the real world for so long.
She has.
She doesn't know that.
Here
like,
we go. Here we go. Can we get more? Man.
Yeah.
Harry Nilsson wrote
so
this song.
I'm so sorry.
Right?
I feel the disappointment.
No,
we love it. We're trying not to cry.
I don't
is what's
have
happening.
A problem with her voice at all. I know she's out of her mind.
Yeah,
she is. But she just came. She just came out and said, "Hey, babe, I'm bipolar, and I'm so sorry. This is real talk. This is Mariah." And I'm sorry if you think I'm crazy. Maybe I forgot to take my meds for a minute.
I just wrote a great truck stop t-shirt, which is, I'm bipolar, sorry, not sorry.
Oh my God.
That works.
Yeah.
That one checks out.
I can see Snooki wearing that.
The joke math checks out.
Yeah,
on that
it does.
One.
So I love her voice, but it's, for me, singers is all about, are you honest? Do I feel what you're feeling?
Yeah.
And she recorded this, I think, probably on a good day, you mm-hmm. know? Feels mm-hmm. like she was feeling it. I know that it's not like an 80s thing, but she had the big hair. I mean,
she was around for that era.
I think it totally qualifies.
All I
Thank
want
you.
For Christmas is you is going to get me if I'm watching it in conjunction with the whatever movie was. What
I
was
know.
The movie that everybody got?
Love Actually?
Yeah, Love Actually.
Is it in that one?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, I get it.
That song is the star of Love Actually.
Yeah.
Actually.
It's Colin Firth
and
all
cue cards. Cue cards.
Yeah, cue cards.
Emotional cue cards.
Oh my God.
But yeah, a singer that can, even a singer that can't sing, but there's emotion behind it.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Those are all my most favorite ones.
Yeah.
You know,
Not a power ballad, but Don't Change by NXS, one of the greatest songs ever made.
I know. And then they changed and became a band I didn't like after that song.
Really?
They have a very different sound. And then they get into, like, you know, the almost dancey, you know, Euro shit.
Pop hits.
Yeah. But Don't Change is a great song.
Oh, yeah.
So I did all my three.
You did.
You're up to number two.
I just want to say that as someone I am marrying, it makes me so happy that two of your top three were the same song.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I just said about different versions, though,
mm-hmm.
with White Lion singing Golden Earring. Like, I agree with different versions being different songs.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm on your side with that.
All right.
They can do that.
Number two is The Search Is Over by Survivor.
I need to... keys.
Mm-hmm. He's just out there before the show, man.
Just noodling. Oh, the band's joining me? Oh, here we go, boys.
Guys, sorry, I'm trying to listen to this.
Sorry.
Who am I to blame you for doubting what you feel?
This is Survivor?
This is fucking Survivor, man.
I didn't know they had another song.
Oh, you didn't know he had a fucking burning heart in his chest?
Oh, man.
I think Survivor is one of the most underrated bands, and no one ever agrees with me.
Because everybody only knows Eye of the Tiger.
Well, now you know this one. That's where the lighter goes up, if you still have a lighter, or a phone.
This one just blends in with, like...
See, this is where...
I feel like this is an easy listening power ballad.
I would hear this. This would be like if you're, like...
There's the guitars anyway.
Like, I could hear this in a doctor's waiting room, like a doctor's office
waiting
room.
When you have a temp job in an office.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the search is over. You finally found your temp job that you've been looking for.
The search is over. I finally found when they're selling the big turkey legs at this county fair. Wait, is that Survivor playing on the main stage? Oh, no way.
Okay, can I just say...
But it's always like the five members who aren't in Survivor, and then like it's called like Dave Survivor.
Yeah,
like,
Dave can't hit the notes.
They can't use the real name anymore because it's just the bass player.
Dave cannot hit those notes.
Franchise up.
No one
rib
cares.
Fest.
And then there's always that lady with her tits out anyway.
That's the reason you keep coming back every year.
That was another moment that happens to me all the time, which is I am extremely passionate and fandom about the songs that I love,
and then I play them for people. Down a notch.
And then I play them for people, and they're like, "Yeah, I guess."
Yeah,
that's why I don't play my music for anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
I know better.
Okay, so
you had to know when you put that on your list that you know.
I thought I was going to change some minds out here today, and apparently...
I don't know.
That's when people go looking for turkey legs, waiting for Eddie Money to come on the main stage at the county fair.
You know what?
Fair.
Good, because I get to be alone in the front row singing to Survivor. They'd probably bring me on.
Yeah.
So, okay, Kyle. Number one.
Number one.
We're at it.
Love Song by Tesla.
Oh, I'm going to have to hear that one because I only know Signs, which is a cover.
Oh, yeah. See?
Yeah.
All right. Love Song, if you got the original, is going to start with extended. Okay, we're starting with the actual song, not the extended classical guitar intro, not piano.
Oh, I don't know if we have time for that.
So
Oh, I don't think I've ever heard this song.
Really?
Really?
You're bringing me in here about power ballads and you never heard... It's called Love Song.
You picked power ballads, not me.
I know, but you brought it up and you were passionate about
it. I did. Maybe I do know it. Hold on.
How have you not heard this?
This is so... Tesla had a real sound. They had their own sound.
Tesla wasn't hit. Like, they were just a rock band.
They were a rock band. They weren't trying to be like a big, you know...
Jeans and t-shirt, fellas.
Yeah.
Probably playing before Survivor at a rib fest these days.
Right. I don't know. I feel like they could co-headline with Survivor. I think Tesla's got a big fan base.
I think they play like Rocklahoma. That's a real thing, by the way.
Oh.
Here it comes.
Oh, here it comes. Oh, I know this song. I didn't know it was Tesla.
Yeah. Love is all around you. This is one where it's just it's not about loving an individual. It's about the individual loving themselves.
Oh.
It's much more of...
Self-love.
It's much more
like, here
of like,
I go again on my own?
Yeah. But they're telling it outwardly. You're going to be all right.
Oh.
Don't worry about being broken up with. So it was like kind of like an independent... Didn't make you sad. It was Tesla. It was Jeff
Keith
and the
boys. You'll get through it,
little buddy. Yeah, come on, guy. You're going to be all right. Here's a guitar solo.
Tesla's
and then
like,
one guitar solo ends, and then it's just the same guitar solo twice as long.
Because some people need a little more time.
Yeah, yeah.
They need a little more time
to
feel that.
You know how great that guitar was? We do, too. Here's it again. I give it to you twice. Give you a twofer.
Yeah, you finally found the love of a lifetime, and it was you.
Yeah.
That
was my heartbroken sixth grade song when I was caddying.
Nice.
At River Forest Country Club in Elmhurst, Illinois. I hated golf, but I would caddy, and for some reason, like, I remember, like, that was, like, the song of the summer. I'd hear it playing from, like, the backyard pools that bordered the golf course, and I'd be like... Bet you there's just hot babes back there wondering if there's a guy waiting for him. And I'm your guy.
I know.
I'm out here sweating. I'm the blue collar guy in every video, every ZZ Top video where, like, I'm getting picked on and they should come in with a hot rod and dust me off. And then all these hot babes will like me.
How old were you?
If it was sixth grade,
sixth grade.
Probably, you know.
I'm still picturing you with a full beard.
I know.
Maybe we had tattoos, this hand the whole day,
but just 3'8" dragging the big leather ping bags around the course.
Your nickname was the Leprechaun.
Oh, your hand's so calloused. You're 9.
Yeah, but I've been doing this for 15 years. And I'm divorced twice.
You guys want to get some beers after this?
You're buying beers for 7-year-olds?
Don't worry. They know me there. It's cool.
Okay. Well, that's a great number one. I'm going to have to listen to that one closer because I think that was beautiful.
If you're a Power Ballad fan.
Yes, I will get into it. I'm embarrassed, but hey, you know.
At least you
I'm
know
I'm almost
it,
40.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I don't care. I don't know everything.
What's your number one?
Whew. Okay, number one is This Love by Whitesnake.
I knew it.
Yeah, I hear that. A lot of people think that's going to be Living on a Prayer, and those people are idiots.
Yeah. Psych.
It's like when the slow drum part comes in, you're like, oh, this is the good one. Okay, good.
Yeah.
But yeah, this song, you know, because as a kid, I was always like, I had a lot of crushes when I was a kid. And then sure. I would always end up being like, actually, I don't know, I can't even stand this person once I talk to him. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. like, from a very young age, I was like, is this love? I always wanted it to be, but I never knew. So this is this always hit me from a very deep place as a kid.
A sincere question that you had.
And
that,
it was, yeah. And,
you wanted to know what love is.
I did. And I remember Tawny Katane, obviously, is a big part of this song. It was about Tawny
Katane. Was she ever not in a video for Whitesnake?
I don't think so. I think she was in every single one of
them. What was her job?
Even after they broke up,
hot
he was like...
Hot babe on a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crawling. Tawny crawling.
I'm a Jaguar.
Tawny
Katane, like that.
Tawny Katane was the only woman I would watch on TV, and my dad would also be like, yeah, I can sit through this song. He loves redheads. And then, so she was beautiful. This song gets me. I get this song every day for the rest of my life and never get tired of it. I love it.
That's how I am with love songs.
Yeah.
Whitesnake came and went for me pretty quick.
Oh, I'm not a Whitesnake fan. No. I love this song. I like their, you know, their hits.
I
but
have
I'm
to
not
throw
a...
my honorable mention in there. Mine is Africa by Toto.
Mm.
Which, that is like the resurgent hit of all time.
It
right
really
now.
Is.
People
I don't
are
know.
Going nuts. And you know there is like some guy who just played keyboards on just that song that is so grateful.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean
have that residual
Sorry.
Check coming in.
Did you mean Jeff Porcaro from Toto?
Jeff Porcaro?
I could listen to this song all fucking day. All right.
Yeah.
All
and just
night.
The guy who made xylophone.
She made
it's
it her alarm,
alarm
in the morning.
For like 4 years.
This
it's
is a good
the
wake
most
up.
Pleasant wake up.
This is a good wake up.
It's the most pleasant wake
but
up.
But the xylophone guy is finally like,
yeah.
No more eating cat food this weekend.
I have to say, so I don't hear a bunch of crap from the yacht rock world.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's Jeff Porcaro or his brother who plays his keyboards. Jeff might be the drummer, so I just want to say that out loud before I get yelled at online.
Two brothers.
Get slaughtered on the internet.
Yeah, I don't want to get so. But I was like, is this a power ballad? Would you consider Africa a power ballad?
Well,
it's on a lot of power ballad lists.
It starts soft, kind of mellow, and then there's the build and the drums.
Yeah.
Is it a love song?
It might
you
be
call
a little
it a pop song.
Yeah.
Of the 80s?
It's
is
like
it a love song, though?
It's a softer power ballad.
Yeah, what is the song
a
about?
A semi-powerful ballad? I don't know, but I freaking love that
it's
song.
It's about Mount Kilimanjaro.
That's the thing. Is there an extended metaphor in there, or is he really just doing a travelogue?
Well, I happen to know. What do you think it's about?
I don't think it's about traveling. Really? Did you
He'd
really?
Never been to
I didn't
Africa.
Say that. He said it.
You think that that's what it was?
Has this band ever been to Africa?
No, that's kind of the joke, is that they asked one of the brothers,
oh, really?
Hey, what's Africa about? And he talking shit about his brother who wrote it. He goes, I think it's about a song. It's a song about a guy who's never been to Africa.
See, that's pretty good. Yeah.
I listen to it so much, I don't even think about
it. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever really thought about what this song means.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that it makes me feel good. I like waking up to it.
That's great.
Xylophone.
Four years running, I like waking up to this song.
It keeps you running.
It keeps me running.
Xylophone's such a mellow
it
palate
is.
Cleanser.
I know
the
that
sound.
Africa is the song that my sister, because I was 5 years younger than my sister growing up in the 80s, and she loved all the top 40 80s songs, right? And I didn't. I was like, Guns N' Roses and that's it. And then... And Africa was like the first song that kind of broke through for me, where I was like, maybe there's some other music out there. And I still love it. It's great. I could listen to it every day as well.
All the power ballads pretty much had a place for me. But Fly to the Angels by Slaughter was a big one. But then you're like, oh, it's about a guy who died. I'm like, this is bumming me out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to listen to wicked guitar solos. Stop telling me about your dead friend.
One of Land's is I Remember You by Skid Row, which I feel like deserves a mention because it's a lot of people's favorite.
You ever, how bad did you hurt your own
voice.
Puberty process trying to sing Sebastian Bach?
I feel like I was a kid, I was worried about him. Even though it was a recording, I was like, every time I heard it, I was like, it's this time its voice is going to go.
I would sing that in my basement, in the bathroom in the basement, getting ready for stuff, and could only think about my dad, my airline mechanic dad, and me going, and just being like, what the fuck did I put in the world?
Yeah.
Like, just listening to me trying to hit high notes when my body is trying to stop high notes.
Yeah.
And that biological showdown going on between me trying to sing Sebastian Bach while going through puberty.
Yeah. The video gets me because it's a homeless guy looking at a picture of his ex-girlfriend, and then he has to burn the picture because he has to leave her, he has to let it go, you know? And I remember San Francisco, as a 9-year-old when that song was a hit, in San Francisco is one of the worst homeless problems in the country, right? So I used to see homeless people all the time, and it always used to break my heart. I never was able to get, like, cynical about it. I was always just like, these people need homes.
Yeah.
And so after that song and that video came out, it made it worse, because I was like, and they're all in love, and they lost their girlfriends, and they have to burn their photos.
He's homeless because he got dumped. I don't even want to get a girlfriend because she breaks up with me, I'll be homeless.
And even if I do get a girlfriend, is this love? I don't know. Kyle, thank you so much.
You betcha.
This was fantastic.
You. Questions and answers, all in the title of Power Balance.
Yeah, absolutely. That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Send us your favorite power ballads, and we will online at Softspot Pod, and we will discuss or fight or whatever, and say, oh,
let me
forgot.
Know how much you disagree with my Mariah Carey nomination. I'm ready for you.
She's ready. Bring it. Also, if you have a video segment that you like, a part of a video that you remember from these songs that you love, like, send it to us online. We'll post it on the
montage
Instagram and
of
stuff
all
like
mirrored sunglasses. Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you so much, Kyle.
Thanks, guys.
Again, apologies, James Urbaniak.
Oh, boy.
For that.
top of the list of people I need to apologize for.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Soft Spot. I'm Julian McCullough.
I'm Meg Malloy.
I'm Kyle Kinney.
And this is the last time you'll ever be on this show. But
I didn't know it was part of the outro.
I know. I didn't. You're not supposed to be. I screwed up. But you handled it really well. Now you're a cast member. That's how it works. So rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps us out. We're growing. We're happy about it. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. And
we love you.
On Starburns Audio, Apple Podcasts, whatever. We'll talk to you. We'll see you next month. Week.
Bye. Week. Yeah.
We're a weekly podcast.
Weekly.
Okay.